This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In 1989, communist artist and activist Safdar Hashmi was murdered near Delhi, India, by a group of political opponents. His murder shook India's artist community, and it inspired them to create a movement in Hashmi's name and in the name of political resistance. It is entitled Samit. Samit has been alive and well since the late 80s, and now a survey of their work is on view in North Carolina. The exhibit is called Samit Collective, a collective art and activism in India since 1989. It's on display at the Ackland Art Museum until January, and I'm joined by Sukanya Rahman to talk about her work with Samit. Sukanya, welcome. She's a dancer, a mixed media artist, and a participant. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also with us is Iqbal Sevia. He is a history professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Welcome, Iqbal. Good to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
Also, Peter Nisbet. He is the chief curator at the Ackland Art Museum. Hello, Peter.
It's nice to be here, too.
Iqbal, let me ask you about this collective, or maybe talk about the context in which the collective was formed, the atmosphere before, the political tone in India that sort of led to this movement.
Well, essentially, Samit emerges out of Safdar Hashmi's own political engagements and work as an artist and an activist as well. Safdar Hashmi was very involved in raising issues linked to industrial, the plight of industrial workers, villagers, but also issues related to communalism and secularism as well.
So communalism and secularism, as well as this kind of economic justice question, right?
Yes.
And let me interrupt there, but just to again lay the groundwork in the context, serious conflicts among the religious groups that make up India's population, because they're also of political factions as well. Mm-hmm. And this is what he's addressing in his work.
This particularly happens in the late 80s and early 90s when the Hindu right wing emerges as a political force. And, you know, when you talk about communism in South Asia, in India in particular, given this discussion, there's one view that these are all primordial instincts that emerge. But a more complicated view to look at it is how political forces in the 80s and 90s mobilize symbols in a particular way to gather a constituency for the Hindu right wing. And this is where somebody like Safdar Hashmi, Samit become really important, because they start to take on these symbols that are being appropriated or misrepresented by the Hindu right wing. And as artists, that's where they step in. And they, in turn, do this challenge, these portrayals in the public sphere itself. And if I can elaborate a little bit on the symbolisms that the Hindu right wing was particularly using at this point of time, what you find is they linked their political demands to demands for the, in their words, liberation of Hindu sites that have been destroyed by Muslims. In particular, there's a very controversial and important case of the Babri Masjid in Ayodhya that was razed by Hindu right-wing forces in 1993.
It's an important mosque.
It was given importance because it was symbolically used in that sense. And what the Hindu right-wing was doing was they were using this mosque as a symbol for mobilization of Hindus, but they were also challenging historical portrayals of South Asia as well, prior to that, the secular traditions that were portrayed and valorized in nation building prior to that. And they were trying to say that, look, you know, there are these sites, we have to liberate them. And they used this to link it up to their political demands very interestingly. And just to illustrate to those not familiar with this, one of the ways they did this was by organizing what is called a Rath Yatra, or a chariot that political leaders used to go from one Hindu temple to another, to controversial Hindu temples. But interestingly, it was a Toyota van that was air-conditioned, etc., but made up to look like a chariot used by Hindu. But this is just a kind of example to illustrate how symbolism is used. But essentially what they were doing in the course of that is challenging historical portrayals of South Asia as well, that they were trying to make an argument Hindu Muslims have not got along, and Muslims have always victimized Hindus and Hindus, etc. Right. So this was the way in which Hindu right wing emerges as a political force in South Asia.
And those symbols are important. And as you point out, it's what's happening in this particular time, because this question of, or I guess myth that somehow we've always been at each other's throats is not true. People have been living together quite peacefully until colonialism, and particularly in this neoliberal time. So here's when we see the same kinds of symbolism and factionalism, ethnic factionalism used in the former Yugoslavia. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying that it's the same issue, but it's interesting that it's in the same moment of also neoliberal reform that we see these kinds of tensions play out across the world, cast as primordial and ancient, but in fact very modern. So, Peter, what does it mean? Why an exhibit of Indian art in Chapel Hill? What's the relevance?
Well, there are several answers to that, of which the first is, why not? But there are more serious answers. I mean, one is to do with the Ackland. We have a very, very good collection of historical Indian art, and we're always looking for ways to bring these historical Asian collections up into the present and to connect up our historical holdings to now. Also, I think the Ackland does have a very strong interest in activist art and art that engages with social issues. And I think it's very interesting for us to be presenting, as Samart says about itself, you know, it's art made in India for India. And to have that presented here, I think, is a way to not only reflect on the parallels between the Indian situation and our own or Yugoslavia or others, but also maybe to have us to have ourselves taken out of ourselves into another context, a radically different political and social historical situation, as a way to maybe decenter ourselves, get a fresh perspective if we then come back, as we always do, to North Carolina and the United States. There's a different view. And so I think it's a powerful exhibition from those two points of view, as well as including some really great art, which is also a reason.
Some of that great art, Sukanya, is yours. I wonder if you can tell me a little bit about what you knew about Safdar Hashmi, whose murder inspired this movement, and how your art is, if it is, inspired by that and its connection to this movement. Sukanya?
Well, my connection, I didn't know Safdar, and my brother Ram Rahman knew him and knew his work, and his murder, his death and everything mobilized the artist community all over India. And my brother is certainly one of the leading political activists and one of the founders of Sahmat. So my involvement is very much through him. But, you know, our political activism in the family, we're a family of artists. My father was an architect, my mother a dancer. We go back. But we go back to my grandfather, Ramlal Bajpai, after whom my brother was named Ram, who was a revolutionary in the early 1900s, a pre-Gandhian revolutionary who was exiled from, had a price on his head for his anti-British activities, you know, as a student, pulling down a statue of Queen Victoria and urinating on her and dumping her in a pond. And, you know, then they were after him and he left India. He was given help through the Revolutionary Freedom Movement and came via Japan to the U.S. and was in the University of Minneapolis was very involved in... They actually all came to study chemistry there so they could learn how to make bombs. So anyway, that's the background of the family and my brother's activism and his name. His name is Ram Rahman. Ram is a Hindu name, of course. My grandfather was a Brahmin. And our father is a Muslim. So we're talking about secularism and communalism, and I was born in the middle of the communal riots in 1946. And he has very much been, you know, also targeted by the Hindu fundamentalist groups because of his name. And the family was always concerned for his life in many of these exhibitions he's held, which have been attacked, and the art pulled down. And for this particular exhibition that I have a piece in your show, in the museum show, came from a collective that Sahamath had put together called Making History Our Own, and asking artists to, this was at the anniversary, the 60th anniversary of India's independence, and the 150th anniversary of the 1857 uprising. So it marked all these things, but artists were approached, you know, to draw on our own lineage and background and, you know, connection, personal connections to that history. And it was in that context that I made the piece that I'm showing at the...
Describe that piece for us, please.
It's a digital piece, and I used the obituary of my grandfather that appeared in his hometown in Nagpur, where he was born in India. And I superimposed on it a picture of my grandfather and myself and him reading a book to me. And I've used some, you know, Devanagari, you know, Hindi script also, and bordered it in Hindi with the term Swarajya, which was also the name of the newspaper where this article appeared. And Swarajya means self-rule. So the involvement is very familial, and the whole Sahamath group in Delhi have really become a part of our family.
Well, let me ask Iqbal about this, because you talk about the imagery and appropriating, reappropriating imagery. And when we think about somehow quelling and appeasing secular or sectarian violence, we think about sitting down in a room and working out a deal verbally, but the imagery is very important. The iconography is very important. Working through the imagination is critical. And Iqbal, I think is that why artists are really employed in this project?
Certainly. The artists are very well aware of engaging with people at a level which is not a negation of religion per se. It's a very, for want of a better term, an Indian definition of secularism, where you don't negate religion, but you treat all religions equally, give them an equal space. And that's how the artists locate themselves. And so what you find is in the wake of the Babri Masjid tragedy in Ayodhya, they organized exhibitions where they, firstly, one of the exhibitions was called Hum Sab Ayodhya Hain, We Are All Ayodhya Today, referring to different caste groups, different religious groups as well. What they did was they superimposed Sufi or Islamic mysticism traditions in their artworks with contemporary portrayals of South Asia, but also with Hindu bhakti traditions as well. So they merged this in the same paintings, they used them, appropriated them in very interesting ways. Not only to portray a kind of what secularism meant in their own parlance, but also to challenge this very political mobilization of symbolisms that was being done by the right wing. But if I may just add a little bit as well, Sahamath goes beyond just the work of the artist as well. What they do is they engage the public in artworks as well. And with regards to secularism, one of my favorite pieces, or rather one of my favorite artworks that they've done, is when they invited auto rickshaw drivers in India.
Yeah, these are those wonderful three-wheeled rickshaws that drive around the... Yeah.
And they invited them to turn up at a spot for a competition where they were encouraged to draw up their own motto of what India meant in a secular way, of course, and then to paint this on their works. And what they did with this was not only did they encourage them to think about this issue, but what they did was then this week of art expanse is not just the artist drawing it, but it's also not just people who go to an art exhibit who witness it. It's people on the streets who see it. So they reach out in there. So it's not just art by artists for a typical viewing gallery.
And these are essentially poems or thoughts that are written on the back of these rickshaws, which was pretty common. I mean, that's what people do. They'd written perhaps personal statements or something like that. And so it wasn't unusual to see this kind of thing. Now we've got a contest and we're very deliberate about the theme. So, Peter, tell us how it's represented in this exhibit.
Well, I think what's exciting about the show, from my point of view, is it isn't so much the theme of secularism or anti-fundamentalism, which is a bit of a sort of an obvious theme, and we can all sign on to that, and you don't go to an art museum to have that particular lesson. But it's the astonishing range of creativity that the artists employ to promote these ideals and to create a space of freedom of expression and equality of religion. So in the show, we have children's books, we have agitational posters, we have enigmatic sculptures, we have documentary photographs. I mean, it really is... SAMART is not a collective in the sense of artists gathering together under an anonymous name to create collaboratively just on one theme. SAMART is a platform, and many major artists have worked alongside SAMART or, you know, in collaboration with SAMART. Artists who have international careers in New York and elsewhere also participate in SAMART because they understand the importance of it. This range of expressions does extend to, actually, in the lobby of the Ackland, we have an actual auto rickshaw, which you can sit in and enjoy the experience, that is painted with one of the slogans from this competition, one of the slogans promoting harmony amongst Indians. So it's a really diverse, interactive show that shows what artists can contribute to this debate. Artists and also performers and dancers and musicians, too.
Sukanya, talk about...
I must add that it's just a very, very extraordinary, ongoing... I don't know if collective is the right word, but absolutely every top fabulous artist in India, dancers, musicians, painters, you know, the Picassos of India, the Margot Fontaines of India, they have all performed for SAMART.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it just continues, and it's immense. And I don't know of any other place in the world or community in the world that... they have this kind of commitment and love from artists, writers, intellectuals, everyone.
And as you say, it has more to do with a platform that espouses freedom of expression rather than anything that in any way denigrates fundamentalism or a particular kind of religion.
And it gives birth to incredible creativity. You know, it sparks the minds, you know, to work in... fantastic new ways, you know, to think up different wonderful creations.
And Iqbal, and along those lines, you're actually celebrating the particular and the differences. It's not a matter of saying let's all become one giant religion,
right,
and sing Kumbaya around the fire. It's about celebrating those particular. Every artist would say they are distinct and original in their presentation, and it's precisely allowing those presentations in a broad format and a public space that you're going for.
Precisely. And another thing that SAMART has, especially in the last decade or so, really got involved in is challenging, or rather championing, the right of artists to display their works and to paint or to say what they want to say or paint or depict. And this goes back to controversy that erupted out of the works of M.F. Hussain, one of the best, some would say the greatest painter in modern and contemporary South Asia, whose work was objected to by certain right-wing groups. And they took up that cause. But they didn't take up the cause just because he was M.F. Hussain or he was from a particular community. But it was a wider issue for them of depiction, the right to use public space and to challenge censorship norms from the state or from groups from any community.
And, of course, the collective gets started because of the ultimate censorship, the murder of Safdar Hoshman.
Precisely.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Iqbal Sevia is a history professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Peter Nisbet is the chief curator of the Ackland Art Museum. And Sukanya Rahman is a dancer, mixed media artist, and a participant in SAMART. And she joined us from India. Thank all of you for being on the program today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. You're welcome.
The exhibit is called SAMART Collective, Art and Activism in India Since 1989. It is on display at the Ackland Art Museum in Chapel Hill through January 2014. Coming up next, Savor the South Cookbook series, Peaches, are on tap. Stay tuned.